so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
So I want to go ahead and jump in today and jump into the series today. I want to take you all the way back to the book of Genesis just for a second. And you might remember, God is going to take 6 days and he's going to create the heavens and the earth. And at the end of each day of creation, 6 days, at the end of each day, he's going to say the same thing. He's going to look at his creation and he's going to say, "It is good. This is good." I mean, he's day one, "It is good." He's going to say it. Day two, he's going to come to the end of day two. He's going to say, "It is good." He's going to go day three, "It is good." Day four, "It is good." Five, six, "It is good." Until he creates man, and he's going to say, "This is not good." Not that he created man. He's going to say, "This is not good. It's not good for man to be," everybody say it, "alone or all by himself." And I want to talk to you today. I think there's an epidemic in our culture. I can see it in our community. It's an epidemic. I'm just going to call it an epidemic of loneliness, people being lonely. And you can work in a crowded place, but that won't solve loneliness. You could be a student here living in a dormitory with all kinds of other students, and that won't cure loneliness. In fact, you can even be in a big church like ours, and our Savior's Church is one of the largest churches in our state. And this campus is one of the largest campuses in our community in St. Landry Parish. And you could still be in this very room and have all kinds of people crowded around you and still be very lonely. And I'm going to talk to both sets of folks in the room, because we have the lonely here and we have the, "No, Pastor, I'm good. I'm not that lonely." And I'm going to talk to you today, and I'm pastoring you today. I'm getting you ready for something. I'm getting you ready for 7 months from now. We're going to open up a new campus. How many of you had the opportunity to go in the other night with the Dream Team? Come on, let them hear you. Was it awesome? Well, here, let me show you a few pictures if you missed it. We had a Dream Team night event. That's our folks that have gone through Growth Track. That's why you want to go through Growth Track. You would have got invited. And so we took them through, and go ahead. That cross is fantastic. Just so you know, it's going to be wrapped in white. It's going to be so we can light it up at night. So when you drive by, you'll just look over there and go, "Yeah, that's my church right there." Anyway, and then there was us just encouraging folks. And then we had the privilege of taking on those walls there, and all of our Dream Teamers all brought their favorite scripture of their family, and we gave them the opportunity to write on the walls of the church, and there's a picture of that. It was a beautiful night. Keisha was amazing. Her and Vic sang in that place, and we just filled it up with the presence of God. It was amazing, and I can't wait till those doors open. How about you? Oh, you're going to be blown away. So anyway, I want to talk to you, but a sociologist who study culture and human behavior have really diagnosed and came up with 4 reasons why we can be in probably the most technologically connected generation ever. And it's only going to increase as time goes by the way. I just received a text while we're in church from a family that helped us start this work, who moved to Baton Rouge. And I just received a text. He's doing a research paper on Opelousas and the history of Opelousas. And while he was doing his research with, I guess, the Library of Congress, he came across that our podcasts are there, too, in the Library of Congress. I said, I better watch what I say. So we're more connected than we've ever been, but yet we're lonely. And here's the 4 reasons they gave for the loneliness epidemic that we're facing. Number one, they're because of the fracture of families, divorce and dysfunction of families. And though you may have walked through it, and I know we have a lot of folks in our church, and either you've been through a divorce, and by the way, I just want you to know, I know that's a very difficult thing. Praise God for the grace of God, forgiveness of God. And if you've been married once, twice, thrice, four times, we got a problem. Anyway, but if you've been, how many, you know, just make this one your last one. Can I get an amen? Just let's go. God will wipe away the slate. You can get forgiveness for your past. Let's just make this one the last one. And then how many of you actually grew up in a home that you had to walk through it? And so we're watching the division of the 50%, half the house, half the resources, half the kids, half the family. We're watching the destruction of our families and relationships cut in half overnight. The second reason they gave, sociologists gave, was because of increased mobility. In other words, we're not living in the same places all the time anymore. We're more transient than when we've ever been. The average American is going to move 11.4 times in their lifetime. It just means we're not staying in the same places anymore as long as we used to. I don't know what those stats are for South Louisiana. I'm not originally from here. Heidi and I aren't. We're from Texas. But we got to Louisiana as quick as we could. Louisiana's home, and so we love it here. Y'all do know, though, South Louisiana is almost like its own country. It is different than anywhere else in the world. Y'all do know that, right? And I'm saying that for the good. It's for the good. We got the best. You got the best food in the world. We've gone all over the world, and we've eaten everywhere. And the best food in the world is right here. That's why we moved here. No, because the best people in the world are right here. I'm just telling you, the culture here is awesome. If you like us, it's like we belong, but if you don't, you better get out of town. That's what I like about y'all. So there ain't no 50-50 with y'all. It's either we love you or we don't. And so that's one reason we're moving. The third reason why is because we're working more than we've ever worked. And our children are busier than they've ever been. Your children are doing things now at a younger age that we didn't do till we were in high school, college, and those things. Your kids are more involved. And by the way, that's not always good. That it's not always good. I want to make sure my children get to do everything. Listen, I'm telling you, you need to find out which way your children are bent and then throw your effort and energy into that. Let them experience things, but once they get good at something, just let them do that and get really good at it instead of spread. If not, let me tell you what, you're going to be so busy when you get home. We open the garage door. We go out in the morning, we don't come home till night, we go back in the garage, and we don't really connect with people. We're busier than we've ever, ever, ever been. You're going to have to fight for it. Fourth, number four is social media. Social media, because we think we're connecting, it's pseudo, it's not really connecting. We're exchanging likes for love. And say it again, we're exchanging likes for love. It's not real. You're lonely. You can post something and then I wonder how many likes I got. You're lonely. And we're exchanging emojis for emotion. And so we're in this epidemic. And I want to help you. I want us to look at this example that Jesus set, because he is our sample. He's the sample. He is the example and what he's going to do. And there's, again, I'm talking to the lonely, but I'm also talking to those who say, you know, and I'm good. So I want to help you today. I want to practically help you, give you some tools on how to love the lonely. And there's a purpose to the madness. When we open the doors, and it's already happening now, we're seeing the increase now, but when we open those doors, the church is going to double overnight. I'm just telling you, it is. It's going to happen. It's going to double. It's going to go from 1,500, 1,600 to 3,000, 3,200 overnight. It's just going to happen. You're going to go, where are these people coming from? The lonely is going to be looking for a home. They're coming. By the way, did you know that the church was Jesus' idea because he saw the fractured families and he decided, you know what, at least we could have a spiritual family that's functional, and then we got to open up a house so the lonely can come in and be placed into families. And so I'm going to help you today in how to love the lonely. I'm going to give you three thoughts. Jesus is going to set this example. Number one, you got to love people with touch. Love with touch. Everybody say touch. Yeah, we were created to be touched. We were created. We like it. We love touch. In fact, let me show you Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. It says, suddenly there was a man with leprosy who approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. A leper. Those who don't know, leprosy was rotting flesh disease in Jesus' day. There was no cure. In fact, they would say once you contacted leprosy in biblical times, about a 10-year process, a 10-year death sentence. You're on death row, 10 years, you're going to die. And this man comes to Jesus and asks him, could he heal him? And Levitical law, that's the Old Testament law, said that it was forbidden for a Jew to touch anyone with leprosy. And I'm sure that the law was put in place so that the disease would stay contained, not be contagious and spread throughout the population. In fact, if you were a leper in biblical times, it was important that you had to also, by law, had to announce that you were a leper. So if you were walking down Main Street and you had leprosy, you had to yell something out. Does anybody remember what you had to yell out? Unclean, that's right. So you had to walk down the street saying, unclean, unclean, so that the population without leprosy could move to the other side of the street so they wouldn't get what you got. I think we had to bring that back. Now, we don't face leprosy thanks to modern medicine like we did back in those days, but I think we have leprosy on the inside instead of the outside, and I think you ought to have to announce what your problem is. Liar! Liar! Cheater! How many of y'all don't want to bring that back, do you? So you would have to yell unclean. Watch what happens in Matthew, the next verse. Watch this verse. Jesus reaches out and touched him. He touches him. A leper. It's interesting to know that when Jesus healed other people in the Bible, he didn't always touch them. I could give you some examples. Lazarus, he just spoke to Lazarus. Come out of the grave. Lazarus being an example. Centurion's servant. The centurion said, just say the word and he'll be healed. And Jesus just said the word and he was healed. So he didn't have to touch the leper. I would tell you, he wanted to touch the leper. Why does Jesus touch him? And watch this. Perhaps the leper didn't just need healing from disease, but he needed love for his rejection. Touch. Look at me. People are going to walk inside of the doors. I'm never more proud of you when I hear this testimony. I've heard it 100 times. I walked into the door and people greeted me, touched me, hugged me. In fact, they would say, I've heard this 100 times. I said, there's no way they're that nice. And so we came back again to see if they were that nice the second time. And they were just as nice. And one guy said, I came back the third time and said, if they're that nice again, this is going to be our house. That's you. Give yourselves a hand. It's touch. I think this ought to be the most touching place on the face of the earth, because the lonely are going to come and they're going to be looking. They're walking in with leprosy on the inside. And if you can touch, I joked with the earlier service, I said, you got to learn how to handshake both ways. What do you mean? I said, well, some folks, white folks, how are you doing? Good to meet you. The black folks say, hey, what's up, bro? Yeah. You need to learn both ways. Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might win some. You got to learn to touch. You got to be all right. Because when you touch people, you love them. The lonely. You got to touch them. And let me give you the second thought. And Jesus is going to set the example. Is you got to love by listening. Ah, love by listening. If you're married here. I'm going to try. Yeah, most of us don't listen with intent to understand. We listen with intent to reply. We don't listen with intent to understand. We listen with intent to reply. We're going to get to peer in on a conversation that Jesus is actually going to have. This is post-resurrection. Jesus goes to the cross, he dies, he's in a tomb. 3 days later, he rises again, he's alive, and he's going to appear to two followers who are walking down the road, who are downtrodden and depressed because they think Jesus is really dead and he's really alive. And he's going to appear to them, and they're not going to they're not going to recognize him at first of being Jesus. They're going to just think it's somebody who joined their walk. And so let's peer into that conversation just for a second. And so I'm going to take you to the book of Luke chapter 24, 17 through 19. Jesus shows up to these two men walking and asks them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stop short. Sadness written across their faces. The one of them, Cleopas, replies, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." In other words, you might be the only one who doesn't realize the headline of the news. And then Jesus says, "What things?" Jesus missed an incredible opportunity. Why are you so sad? "Well, you must not have heard." He should have went, "Ta-da! I'm here." But he doesn't. He asks a question. What things? What things? I think the best way to discover about people is everybody has a story and everybody wants to tell their story. All you have to do is ask them, "What things? Hey, man, nice to meet you. So great to see you this morning. Hey, how long have you been coming? Oh, really? It's your first time? Hey, what's your story? How did you find us?" If you'll put question marks at the end of sentences instead of exclamation marks and periods at the end of sentences, people will open up their heart to you, because when you listen to people, it says you value people. It means you love them. Are y'all tracking with me so far this morning? So, and if you're married, how many of you have ever had that where your wife has said something to you like this? "I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to, we still can't figure you girls out. You just need to talk." Why? Because when you listen to somebody, it says, "I value you. I value who you are." By the way, it's more important to be interested than interesting. The word "listen" has the exact letters as the word "silent" in it. When you listen. Heidi and I have been doing this for a long time. And we've got to listen to some of the most tragic stories ever. And I want to be honest, there are some times where you're stumped. You don't even know what to say. And it's always amazing to hear see the thank you text going, "Pastor, you thank you. I really needed that. You're such a blessing for me." And I go, "I didn't even say anything." But all they really needed was someone to listen, to value the person. You love the lonely by your willingness to listen to them. And then let me give you number three. Number one, we love them by touching them. We're going to love them by listening to them. And then number three, you got to love them with time. I think, y'all stay with me just for a second. This is just in my imagination. Jesus had the coolest walk ever. And I think he was the OG. I think he was the original gangster. Because he was never in a hurry. You ever met somebody that's like just never in a hurry? He's like, what's she doing? Yeah, what's up? How y'all doing? Yeah, how y'all doing? I can't remember how I was thinking about this. He was at the worship center. There was this guy that we used to go to church with in Houston that he was mentally challenged a bit. He always had on the, back in the day, it wasn't the earphones. Back in the day, had the thing. Remember that thing over your head? With the thing? Walkman. That's right. That's Walkman. For you young people, there used to be a thing called a cassette. And so he always had music, and he was always just, he was so smooth. He always walks, and he did everything like he was dancing. Like he'd walk up to his row, and then he'd, you ever met somebody like that? Just everything was, just, he'd go get in his car and just smooth. Smooth operator, that's right. He was just smooth. Everything was silk. It was smooth. It's like I think Jesus was the one who came up with that. I just, never in a hurry. Allowed interruptions. Nothing bothered him. He could be preaching, and all of a sudden the hole in the wall, they start lowering down a guy that needs to be healed. He didn't say, wait. Catch me after service. He just said, all right, well, let's heal him. An interruption. He's sleeping, taking a nap in a boat. And then a storm comes along, and they, Jesus, hey, what's the problem? It's all good. It's all good. He's cruising through the crowd, right? He's on his way to heal somebody. He's going, and he's like, who touched me? And he stops and ministers to the lady who had an issue of blood for 30 years. He's just walking. And one time he's praying. He's in his prayer closet. He's praying. And Peter has to come in and interrupt and go, sorry, Jesus, sorry. I know you're praying, but there's people out here, and they need to hear what you got to say. And he goes, hey, that's why I came. Interruption. You know what? We're so busy, you don't have time for interruptions. In fact, we get upset about interruptions. And instead, can I just tell you, most of the miracles and the God opportunities that are going to come into your life, they're going to be disguised as an interruption. Let me say that again, because I want to make sure you get it. The miracles and the God opportunities that are going to come to your life are going to be disguised. They're going to knock at your door, and you're going to think they're an interruption. I ain't got time for that. And you're going to miss it and not recognize it for what it was. I'm thinking of Debbie Trahan. I don't know, Deb, there you are. You just came to my mind. How long, Debbie, did I say you need to be a small group leader before you ever became one? How long? How many years? 5 years. She's slow but show. She's one of our great freedom group leaders now. She's doing an amazing job. I could just imagine, well, I can't do that. Well, I'm just busy. I'm busy, 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 busy. We're so busy. Busy, 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 that you don't have time. And by the way, can I just tell you something? This is probably kind of free, by the way. Is God never promised you grace for tomorrow? He promised you grace for today. You get grace for the day. And when you start projecting yourself and getting anxious about tomorrow because of what you got to do tomorrow, then it causes you to get busier today because you're worried about what you got to do tomorrow. Did you know what Jesus said about tomorrow? He said, don't even worry about tomorrow. He said, the birds of the air, they ain't got to cook. I feed them. The flowers of the field, would you consider them? They look better than Solomon in all of his glory. And if I can take care of the birds of the field, or birds of the air, and I take care of the flowers of the field, I care much more about you. Let me handle tomorrow. You just take the grace for today. If not, you're going to miss today. You're not going to be present today. You're going to be walking through life. You've been at the party, right? Help me out, Vic. You've been at the party. You're talking to somebody, and they're going, yeah, and you're going, what you looking at? They're looking past you. So you can't be present with the person that you're at. And if you can't be present with them, it says, you don't value me. Jesus had a reputation. Jesus, again, original gangster. Here come the kids. What, the disciples are going, get them kids out of here. And Jesus is like, it's cool. Bring them on. You're going to miss the opportunities. Why am I telling you this? The lonely are coming. They're coming. They're coming. They just need Jesus. That is true. I just don't want to, I want us to be able to escort people to Jesus instead of being the stumbling block to keep them from Jesus. Oh, and you can do it. You can do it. By how? I call us, we just supposed to be the sample cookie. We ain't the cookie. Jesus is the cookie. What do you mean, Pastor? Y'all been through the mall, right? And they bring the, how many of y'all have ever been to Costco? You don't even have to buy anything in Costco. You can get full. If you ain't got no money and you want to take your wife out for a date, just take her to Costco. Things are a little tight this week. Babe, it's tight this week. I know, but we need to go on a date. All right, let's go to Costco. Get a little sample. You can fill up at Costco. You know why they give you samples, right? Because when you taste it, you go, that was good. I think we're going to buy some of that. Well, do you know what people are going to do when they walk into the house? You know what they do? They just taking samples. And if they feel the love of God through his people, then they just took a sample and they said, I want more of what I just received. Are you hearing me? This ought to be the most loving, hugging, handshaking, what's up, my brother? Time spending, how you been, baby? How long you, what's your story? What is your story? I'm talking to two different people here. I'm talking to the lonely, but I'm also talking to those who goes, no, Pastor, this is my home. This is where, I know, but I want to talk to you too because the lonely's coming. If you're lonely here, look at me. Next week, you need to run to the gym and you need to go get in a small group of people that can love you, touch you, listen, time, and give you time. What am I saying to you? If you're lonely now, you don't have to be lonely after next week. You don't have to be. Then you would go, now I'm lonely by choice, not because I have to be. You don't have to be lonely. You need to run across there next week and go, I'm getting in a group. For those who are already in groups, I ain't lonely. I love my spiritual family. Yeah, I know you do. But you need to be reaching out to the lonely. They're going to be running and you need to run to meet them. And you go, how can I do that? You ought to be the most inviting. Hey, are you in a small group? Hey, would you be in my small group? Would you be in my small group? Because I'd love to have you in my small group. What's your story? I'd love to hear your story. Come to my small group because I just love to hear your story. I'd love to get to know you better because I just think you're okay. I'm overdoing it with the touching thing, all right? Boundaries. You know what I'm saying. You ought to be the most inviting people ever. If you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good and you found spiritual family, then you ought to be looking for the lonely everywhere you go. Here's my dream. I'll just share it with you. This would make me really happy. If someone was in our church was lonely and they got 4 or 5 invitations to somebody going to their group, if I got 4, and that the lonely walked out thinking, I must be pretty special because everybody wants me. Get in a group. You need it. It's not good for a man or a woman to be alone. You can be sleeping next to your husband or your wife and still be alone. Are you receiving this today? I hope you're receiving it. I want to pray for you. If you're lonely, I want to pray for you. God created. In fact, I want to show you Psalm 68. I just wanted to show you this. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and he gives them joy. God wanted a family. That's why we're here. That's why we call this a spiritual family. You need to be in a family. And he created the church to counteract the antidote to the fractured families that are in our society. He said, you can come here. And how many of you believe that? Spirit is really thicker than blood. It really is. I'm closer to some of my spiritual brothers and sisters than I am some of my earthly brothers and sisters, simply because spirit is thicker than blood. How many of you got some blood family you wish you didn't have? Some of y'all are lying in church. You just didn't want to raise your hand. I just can't do it. You love them. You just don't like them. I want to pray for you. Father, we hear your word today. We hear your word. Thank you for setting the example for us. You set the example so we could be the sample. You set the example so we could be the sample. And so, Father, we hear you to connect, to build relationally, that we're going to have to listen, we're going to have to touch, and we're going to have to create some time. Maybe you're even showing us in our own life where we're too busy and we need to cut back so that we have time. We need time. And so, Father, we hear your word today. We receive it. I want to pray now, and I want every Christian, would you just begin to pray for your row? Maybe you're here today, and your first step is you need to make things right with God. Maybe you even just walked in here. This might even be your first time here. And you walked in going, I need a family. I want to be a part of a spiritual family. Well, you need to be adopted. You go, how do I do that? Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom. In other words, you can't see the family or enter this family until you've been born again. July 30th, 1965 was my birthday, the day I was born. But the day I got born again was 1983, the summer when I surrendered my life to Christ and got born again. Pastor, you, how do you get born again? It's easy as A, B, and C. Admit you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Christ alone came to take those nails through his hands and feet to pay for our sin. We did it. We did it. We put him on the cross, but he came to die so he could shed his blood so we could be forgiven. And then C, just confess him as Lord and Savior. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. This is your invitation. I want to pray for you to be born again. Say, Pastor, you, I want to be born again today. Would you slip your hand up all over this building? No one's looking at me. I want to pray for you. Hold up high right now. Hold up high. I want to be born again today. Hold it up high. Thank you. One, two, three, four, five. I see your hand. Hold up high. I'm looking in the balcony now. Six. Thank you. I see your hand. Congregation, let's pray with each one of those. Would you say this out loud with me? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put our hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.